Gospel of John, chapter 14. Very familiar passage. John, chapter 14. We're going to read the first six verses. Very familiar. Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning in verse number 1. Follow along, if you would, in your Bible, as I read the Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, thank you for this morning, this opportunity we have to sing, to give, to pray, to fellowship, and Lord, now to listen to the preaching of your word. And Father, I do pray that God, you would give me guidance and leadership, Lord, as you have laid upon my heart the thoughts that I'm going to deliver to these your people this morning. Father, give direction, give clarity of thought, clarity of speech. Father, we might receive this morning that which you have for us. God, I pray you'd settle hearts. God, help our minds to be focused on what you have for us the next few minutes. And Lord, may we just be open books in thy sight. May we be completely transparent in our lives. And Father, knowing that we hide nothing from you, Father, may we for these few minutes just be open before you. And I pray that you'd guide us. I pray you'd give us direction. Father, give us what we need for this time and this hour. We pray most of all, should there be anyone today in our midst that's never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, never made a commitment to Him, that Father, today would be the day that they would realize there's no greater commitment that can be made than one in receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, getting the free gift of eternal life, knowing they'll go to heaven when they die. So Father, speak especially to that heart as well as the rest of ours today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is probably not any more well-known text other maybe than John 3:16 than John chapter 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The promise of heaven. The promise of eternity by believing in Jesus Christ. When the disciples said in verse 5 and 6, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know how to get there? He said simply this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One of the greatest passages in all the Bible about eternal life. And we're thankful for that passage because we know so little about it. What is heaven like? I've tried to answer that question for folks so many times. What is heaven like? Well, I don't really know. The Bible says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Our human mind cannot comprehend the glory of heaven. Oh, here we are. We come out of winter time and into spring and we think this is just the best thing in the world. Instead of 30 degrees, it's 65 degrees. Instead of overcast and gray, it's sunny and blue skies with white clouds. And what is better than that? There are places in the world that are just noted for their beauty and for the handiwork of God in creating what He did by His creative hand and finger. And yet the best and the most glorious of everything we can see down here on earth pales in comparison to what's on the other side of that blue sky. We're looking through a glass darkly. We're seeing the underside of it. One cartoon said, if it's this beautiful under here, imagine what it looks like above there. And so the Lord introduced to them that eternal life, those mansions that He has gone to prepare for us. And that's great. And that's exciting. And that's wonderful. But as we've said so often, we're looking forward to the sweet by and by while we're still living in the nasty now and now. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not oblivious to that. Because before he introduced that eternal life in verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, he talked about earthly life in verse number 1. And verse number 1 is where I'm going to get my text from this morning. He said to his disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Can there be any simpler statement? Any more profound choice of a few words than for the Lord to say to His disciples about earthly life? Not eternal life, but earthly life. "Let not your heart be troubled." The Lord looking at you this morning, down here on earth, His words to you are simply this: "Let not your heart be troubled." Why did He say that? Well, look back, if you would, at chapter 13 and verse number 33, and we'll find, as always, there's a reason that the Lord said what He said to the people He said it to. In John chapter 13 and verse 13, He introduced them to something they weren't ready for. He told them something was going to happen they weren't planning on. He said in John 13 and verse 33, "Little children," to His disciples, "yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you." He's telling His disciples, "I'm leaving. You've forsaken houses and lands. You've forsaken all that you have to follow me. You've been good. You've been faithful. I've taught you. I've trained you. I've prepared you. But I want you to know I'm leaving. I'm going somewhere that you can't come with me right now. Sometime in the future, but not right now, you can't come." And these disciples, who didn't understand what He was talking about and wondering, why in the world would He leave? After 3.5 years of following Him and after all that's going on, why would He leave? Again, they didn't understand that they did not understand yet that He was going to die for their sins. A very simple and clear message throughout the Gospels. They're looking for a Messiah to come to rule and to reign. They hadn't caught on. Jesus had told them on 3 different occasions, "I'm going to be delivered into the hands of sinners and betrayed, and the Son of Man's going to be crucified." And it wasn't until after he was crucified and rose again that they remembered the Scripture where He said to them He was going to die and rise again. So at this point, they don't know where He's going, why He's going, and they're troubled. So Jesus, with all the compassion He has in Him, looks at them and says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." You know, troubles come when things don't work out the way we plan. That's what troubles are. Troubles are not the things we expect and the things that come naturally. Troubles are the things that happen that we don't want to happen. And yet they happen to each and every one of us. None of us are exempt from these problems, these trials that come down. In fact, someone has said it this way: the only place on earth where there are no troubles is the graveyard. Until then, this world is going to give us trouble. I want to look at John chapter 14 this morning. I want you to see 3 things, if you would, with me. First of all, when Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled," He said that because of the reality of troubles. The reality of troubles. Jesus never wasted any words. He did not have to warn us or comfort us about things we weren't going to experience. So when He said to His disciples, and in turn says to us, "Let not your hearts be troubled," He's saying that because He is recognizing the reality that down here on this earth, troublesome times are here. That's what the songwriter said, filling men's heart with fear. The reality of troubles. Oh, they come in different shapes and different forms, but every one of us faces troubles throughout life. The older I get, the more I realize those troubles may a lot of times have the face of physical troubles. The physical pains that I've gone through, that I'm experiencing, the troubles that I'm going through. You know, I remember when I was young and I'd hear the old people sitting around talking about their ailments. And now I are them. And I'm trying to be mindful of that. And so when I'm around younger people, I don't want them to feel the same way I felt when I was younger and heard all the old people talking about their ailments. But you know what? For us old folks, that's pretty common conversation. Because it's getting out of bed in the morning, putting your feet on the ground, saying, okay, what hurts today? It's not, is anything going to hurt today, but what's going to hurt today? And we have troubles of physical nature. I look around at our congregation. You know, when we have prayer meeting on Wednesday night, you ever notice this? That the almost 90% of the prayer requests are for somebody that's going through something physically. Now, don't we have other troubles? Don't we have other problems? And yet when it comes to prayer time, and this is not a judgmental thing or a criticism, it's just that's the one thing. There are so many physical troubles. What did we do this morning before we took the offering? We prayed for Miss Lorna and all the things that she's gone through. And she's not that old. In fact, if she's watching, she's very, very young. She's not that old, and yet she's gone through some very, very difficult times, over 30 days in the hospital and trying to get through the lung problems, the pneumonia and the bacteria and getting back on her feet. I think of Tom we prayed for this morning. And Tom having two of his toes amputated on his right foot and now having to be specially fit for a boot, and that's going to affect him the rest of his life. It's not just older folks, younger folks too. We've lost people in our church at 40 years of age, 24 years of age. Physical problems, physical troubles hit every single one of us. Oh, when I was young and I looked at the age I am right now, I just thought, boy, he's going to be fit like a spring chicken and doing great and all that. And I find out it didn't work out the way I thought it was going to work out. Those are troubles. And we all face those physical troubles and pains. But they're not just physical. Sometimes they're financial. Sometimes it's not cancer, not lung disease, not heart problems. Sometimes it's financial issues and problems that we all face. Now, as I said already, the government kind of took care of that for this week anyways, but by next week we'll be broke again. But we have financial struggles. The old expression is, we always run out of month before we run out of money. No, we always run out of money. You know the old expression, so I don't even have to say it for you. We run out of money before we run out of month. Paying the electric bills, paying the mortgages, paying the car payments, paying the insurance. I'm going to get depressed if I go through this list. But all the things that are monthly expenses that we have of just existing in this life and in this world and trying to get by with that, it is a burden and it is troubled. We'd like to do more, give more, help more, but we struggle with those financial things. Some folks more than others. Some struggle to pay their utility bills. I know that because here at the church we get phone calls very regularly of people that for one reason or another, and I have to put that disclaimer in there, for one reason or another are behind on their water bill, their electric bill, some payment. Sometimes we get phone calls from folks that just saying, I don't have any money for food on the table. And we help these folks as we try to sort through different things on that, but we look at that. But folks are facing financial difficulties. Some of us don't have them like other people do, but some folks have them. We've all got our problems. Some folks have family problems. You know, it's hard to make marriage work. I'm not telling you married folks anything you don't know. But marriage takes work. You have to overlook some things in your spouse. And your spouse has to overlook a whole ton, a lot of things in you. And you have to work together as a team to get through this. And there's trouble sometimes. They say that finances are the number one reason for divorce in America because of the stress that causes. So that's a trouble adding to another trouble. Problems just multiplying. But family troubles are tough. Raising children in this day and this age is very hard. Wanting to be protective of them from a vile and filthy world. Wanting them to have the best in life. And if you're younger, you don't know this, but I'll tell you this, your children never stop being your children. My oldest daughter is 40 years old now. You know that. We went out to visit her in Nebraska. She's still my daughter. She's still a child. Now, she's an adult, but she's still my child. Matt is 38. Robert's 36. They just go down from there. And you're always concerned about them. You're always worried for them. You always want them to have all their needs and to be in good health and to have good jobs, all those things. And then sometimes we have to say goodbye to loved ones, to spouses, to parents, to children. You know, I'm not here to depress you this morning. May not sound like that, but I'm leading up to let not your heart be troubled. So you know there's light at the end of the tunnel. But this world is full of troubles. Whether they are physical or financial, whether they involve family, whether they are social problems. This is one of the devil's most effective tools to get you troubled, troubled, troubled about many things. Martha, thou art troubled about many things. And the news media seems to feed on that. They're not happy unless they can build upon those fears. Newspapers and advertisers don't make more money unless they can get you to watch, and the way they get you to watch is to build upon troubles. And so they manufacture them, even sometimes when they're not really there. They make issues out of things that are not really issues. We've seen that this very week. They have an agenda that they want to follow that keeps us divisive and troubled among us. And there are troubles all throughout the world. The social problems that we have. But when Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled," He's kind of cutting through a lot of the other ones and talking about spiritual problems. He told Peter in verse number 38, "Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me." Oh, Peter, you who have been so brash and so bold, you have been so faithful and so forceful. But Peter, you're going to have some trouble. Your faith is going to waver. Your faith is going to falter. You're going to wonder what in the world's going on. You're going to face a situation that you didn't see coming, that you never thought would happen. And you're going to have to face it. But Peter, let not your heart be troubled. There's a reason the Lord spoke those words right there when He did. Troubles, I've said before, those things that we are not prepared for, those things that come that we did not plan for, and yet they come anyways. Whether they're financial or physical or family, social or spiritual. You know the book in the Bible that has the word trouble, troubles, troubled? The second most times out of all the books in the Bible. We'll talk about the one with the most in a minute. But the book in the Bible that uses those words the most, trouble, troubled, troubles, is the book of Job. Probably not surprising, is it? With all Job went through. And Job's problem was really not a physical problem. Now it was manifested physically by the boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. But can I tell you that Job's problem was not a physical problem, but a spiritual problem? Because we read at the very beginning that it was the devil and God that were using Job as a scapegoat, as it were, to show that his faith could withstand whatever the devil would throw at him, and it was his faith that was being targeted. It wasn't his body. That's what the devil was using. It's his faith that was being targeted. And many times, the devil will use physical problems, financial problems, family problems, social problems, all of these different, he'll use them as a means to give you spiritual trouble. And Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. All this morning you're sitting here in church on a beautiful Sunday morning with the weather just as good as it could be outside. Comfortable in here. Jane, get that coat off. I expect that from Kathy, but not from you. Hit both of them there. I went over to, I probably shouldn't tell you, went to the thermostat between Sunday school and church and said, nope, no more. Turn the heat off, turn the air conditioning on. Keep it at a nice cool 45 degrees in here. What? No. Ed's looking at it now. He's trying to see what it is said. He's got a coat on too. All right. Beautiful day. Couldn't ask for anything better. The sun is shining. It's warming up outside. But all those glorious, beautiful things sometimes are just there to cover over the fact that we are all troubled in one area or another. What do you do with those troubles? How do you not succumb to them? You know, people that have mental issues, social issues, sometimes even the physical issues are a result of those folks that cannot overcome their troubles. They cannot find a remedy for it. All some men, usually men, trying to bury themselves in their troubles will run down to the local bar, sit there at the counter and try to drink their problems away, and we all know that doesn't work. When you get done, the problems haven't gone anywhere and you've just got another problem to add to it. People take pills and medication to deal with problems and troubles. And I'm not talking about physical problems that doctors prescribe medication for, but you know, people have used pills and drugs and everything else because they don't know how to handle the troubles of this life. The reality that there are troubles. Let not your heart be troubled. Secondly, the reason for troubles. And can I tell you, there's a reason for them. There's a reason for these problems. We're going to stay here in John. Turn over a page if you would. Look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse number 33. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking again to His disciples and He says this in verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. A bigger, longer word for troubles. Maybe even a more descriptive word for troubles. A word that takes troubles to another degree, tribulation. In this world, ye shall have tribulation. The reason for troubles, the devil. Can I say this again? The reason for troubles, the devil. One more time. The reason for troubles, the devil wants us to be troubled. Because as long as he can keep us troubled, we focus on our troubles and we don't focus on God. It's just that plain. Job sitting there with the boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. You know who Job was focused on? You know who Job was trying to justify? You know who Job was concerned with? He was concerned with Job. Now, I don't say that in judgment of him or be harsh upon him. He did a wonderful job of handling a very terrible tribulation and trouble. But when we go through the troubles, we focus on ourselves. And when we focus on ourselves, we're not focusing on anybody else. And when we're not focusing on anybody else, we're not focusing on God. We're not focusing on serving Him. We get buried in our troubles. Our troubles mound up over us. And we withdraw many times because of our troubles. Oh, we don't often, especially you and I that are saved, we don't often just talk in public circles about what we're going through, what we're experiencing. We try to handle them ourselves, but we don't realize that when we do that, we are looking so inwardly that we're not finding a resolution to our problems. Let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because there's a reason for those troubles. The devil is trying to get you focused on you. Get you focused on you. Put yourself to a test. When somebody comes up and they start sharing with you their problems, their troubles, their dilemmas, do you listen? Are you compassionate? Are you understanding? Or are you immediately thinking about what you're going through that's likened unto what they're going through? See what happens? The focus gets back on us. And everything gets turned. The devil likes to cause trouble. Because that way he can disrupt. Notice, look with me if you would, at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I don't think you're different from everybody else. I think you experience troubles. What category they come in, what section they come in, how often they come in, is going to be different from one person to another. But throughout life, we are going to repeatedly be surrounded by troubles. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians, look at chapter 4, and verse number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 8, the Apostle Paul said this, "We are troubled on every side." In this world, we are troubled on every side. The world doesn't understand us. Unbelievers don't understand us. Sometimes those closest to us don't understand us. We are troubled on every side. Physically, financial, family, socially, occupationally. A lot of folks looking for jobs, looking for better paying jobs, looking for ways to provide for their family. The world is just full of troubles. And Paul said, we are troubled on every side. He repeated this over in chapter 7 and verse number 5. He must have known what it was like. Second Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest." 2 Corinthians 7, 5. "But we were troubled on every side." We were troubled on every side. Why did Jesus have to say to His disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled"? Because He knew their hearts were troubled. Why does the Lord say to you and I today, "Let not your heart be troubled"? Why does that verse resonate with us so much in the day we live in? 2,000 years later. Because the troubles haven't disappeared. They change forms. They change technology, maybe. They change ideology. But the devil's tactic is still the same, to bring trouble upon trouble upon trouble. And Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Sonia and I sang the song, and the reason I picked that song this week, the one phrase in it that rang through my mind as I was preparing this, the song was called "Until Then." "My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding always upward." This last phrase is what was on my mind. "This troubled world is not my final home. But until then." This troubled world is not... The songwriter must have known. That's not a real old hymn. Did you know that? I looked that up. It was written in the 1950s, which if you know hymns means it's contemporary. That's pretty new. All right? It's my age. It's young. All right? "This troubled world is not my final home." The songwriter knew what it was like to live in a troubled world. So we see the reality of troubles. They're going to come no matter how we try to get away from them. They're always going to be there. We see the reason for troubles, and that's that the devil wants us to be troubled. As long as we're in this world, there's going to be troubles. That gets us excited about that other world, doesn't it? A trouble-free world. You got to go by the graveyard, I guess, to get there. But once you get there, it's a trouble-free world. For the believer, for the saved person. So there's the reality of troubles, the reason for troubles, and then thirdly, look back at John chapter 14. Jesus gave a command, "Let not your heart be troubled." Can you look at it this way? That's a command. He didn't say, "I wish that your hearts would not be troubled. It would be better off if your heart..." No, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Peter, I know what you're thinking. And there are rough times coming ahead. Before it gets better, it's going to get worse, Peter. And the Lord, of course, knew everything was going to transpire. But He commanded him, no matter what happens, when I leave you, and even if you deny me, Peter, let not your heart be troubled. It's a command. And I am so thankful that God never gives us a command without a way to perform the command. And so He gives us the remedy for troubles in verse number 1 also. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Notice this. Believe also in me. Part of the remedy for problems is putting your faith not only in God, now that's a great thing, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, who went through troubles you and I will never face, who went through difficult times that make our troubles look easy, hanging upon a cross with the sins of the world on His shoulders, suffering for the sins of all mankind from Adam to the very last human being that's around. Suffering for all those things. He was troubled. He had to cry out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He forsook Him. The Father forsook His Son because of you. Because of me. But He was willing to do it. And He tells His disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Can I tell you that the remedy for your troubles is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Now that's pretty exclusive, isn't it? Because there's folks of other religions that go through troubles. Buddhists, Muslims, whatever they might be, they go through troubles. And you know what the sad thing is? They don't have the remedy. Because they have God, at least in their form of God, but they don't have me. See that me in verse number 1? That's Jesus Christ. They don't have Him. They don't believe in Him. They don't trust in Him. And so the troubles mount. And some of those folks in those religions are just so mean and nasty and murderous and treacherous. And that's part of their religion because they don't have peace. They don't have what Jesus Christ gives in the midst of trouble. Going through a storm down on the lake of Gennesaret, Jesus simply stands and says, peace be still, and the winds and the waves stop. He can do the same with our troubles when we believe in Him. You believe in God, believe also in me. Look at the book of Romans chapter 8, and there's probably not a soul in here that doesn't know exactly where I'm going when I say this, but it's still good for us to go there anyways. Romans chapter 8. The remedy for our troubles. Believe in God. Believe in God. And Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. This Apostle Paul that said, troubled, I'm troubled on every side. Distressed, perplexed on every side. He said in Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. The promise of God is simply this, that no matter what your trouble is, God's going to use it for His glory. God's going to use it for His good. Job had no way of understanding that. He had no concept. We whipped through those 42 chapters in the book of Job in minutes' time and read through it. And we know when we start the book of Job exactly why everything's going on. We read in chapter 1 and chapter 2 about that contention between the devil and Satan. And we know why Job's going through it. Job didn't know. He had no idea till it was all over what was going on. But God was working all things together for His good. And God does that. So believer, you're going to go through troubles. That's the reality of it. The devil wants you to do it. That's the reason for it. But the remedy is this. You believe in God, then Jesus says, believe also in me. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need a close walk with Him in your life to get through troublesome times. The bottle isn't going to do it. The pills aren't going to do it. It's Jesus Christ. You need to know Him. You need to walk with Him. You need to be close to Him. I need to be close to Him. That's the only thing that's going to soothe your heart and your mind through troublesome times. You believe in God, believe also in me. Oh, what a blessing it is when you're overwhelmed. When it seems like you're under the rock and somebody's standing on the rock. And there's no way out from those troubles, that you can cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. Doesn't it sound so simple? Doesn't it sound so easy? Can I tell you this? It is simple and it is easy. But as I've said so often, we take God's simple, easy things and make them complex. And take God's complex things and try to simplify them. Try to understand the book of Revelation and the dragon. Oh, we want to get all that, but then we can't handle casting all your care upon Him. So we carry our troubles around in a bucket with us each and every day when the Lord is saying, cast it. I mentioned to you that the book of Job is the book where the second most times of the word trouble, troubled, and troubles occur. And that's 14 times. The second most of any book in the Bible. I think Isaiah might be third. After I got the list down, I didn't look much for it. I think Isaiah might have been third. But Job, 14 times, troubled, troubles, trouble. The book with the most is the book of Psalms. Second most, Job, 14. The most, Psalms, 160. You are going through troubles? Turn to the book of Psalms. You're going through difficult times, hard times? Read the Psalms. Oh, they will be refreshing water over your soul. I'm sorry that David, that great king, went through so much trouble. But I am thankful that David, that great king, went through so much trouble and wrote it down and recorded it for you and for me. Look back there, if you would, for just a couple of minutes. You've got a couple of minutes. Look back at the book of Psalms. Look at Psalm 34. Right there in the middle of the Bible. Look at Psalm 34. I'm sorry David went through his sorrows, but his troubles caused him to write these Psalms that give us strength in our trouble. In Psalm 34, look if you would at verse number 6. David said this, a Psalm of David. This poor man cried, David said, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The heading of this psalm tells us that this is when he changed his behavior before Ahimelech, who drove him away and he departed. David was running from Saul, running for his life, hiding in the wilderness, trying to preserve himself. And he said, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. Look down at verse 17. David said this, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Are you noticing a theme in these two verses? Crying out to God. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. In time of troubles, where can I go? Oh, where can I go? Where can I go but to the Lord? Notice if you would here in Psalms chapter 62. Or Psalm 62, verse number 8. And again, this word appears 160 times in the Psalms, so we're obviously not looking at all of those. But Psalm 62 and verse 8. Psalm 62 and verse 8. It says, "Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." Psalm 62, verse 8. Pour out your heart to Him. Let not your heart be troubled. Pour out your heart to Him. You take your troubles upon your own shoulders. Work the situations out yourself. Try to get through the difficult times in your own strength. And you might. You might. But it won't be near as glorious and beneficial as if you call upon the name of the Lord and pour out your heart to Him and find out that in time of trouble, He is your refuge. Psalm 77, over just a couple of pages. Psalm 77. "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted." Have you been there before? Your soul refused to be comforted? This is a psalm of Asaph, it says under here at the heading at the top. Asaph knew also what it was like to be troubled. And he said, "In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord." Look down at verse number 4. "Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled. I am so troubled that I cannot speak." Verse 7. "Will the Lord cast off forever? Will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in His anger shut up His tender mercies?" That's the way we get feeling when we go through our troubles. God, where are You? Where did You go? The Lord Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." Folks, you understand what we're saying this morning? It's not, "Well, preacher, I've got this problem or that problem or that problem." I'm not saying being an ostrich, stick your head in the sand and pretend they're not there. They are there. They're real. The reality of troubles. And the reason for them is you're going through them to test your faith. That you might be tried, that you might come forth as gold. Because you live in this world, and as long as you're in this world, there's troubles. But the Lord has given us the remedy. You believe in God. Believe also in Me. One more verse in Psalm 102, verse 2. Psalm 102, verse 2. "Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily." Psalm 102, verse 2. "In the day when I am in trouble, incline thine ear." What do you do when you're in trouble? Jesus said, "Let not thine heart be troubled." How do we do that? By believing in Him. By believing that He works all things together for good. That He has a plan even when we didn't have one. And thank God for that. That's our faith. That's our hope. That He has a plan when we didn't. Or that He had a plan that's so much better than ours that when we learn to give up on ours, we can experience His. But in the meantime, troubles. That's the reality of it. What do? Trust in Him. Talk to Him. Pray. Casting all your care. And then thirdly and lastly, read your Bible. You know how we know what it says in John 14:1? Because we open the book, we turn to the page, and we read it. You know how we know how David handled and Asaph handled those problems in Psalms? Because we open the book, we turn to the page, and we read it. Christian folks go through troubles and they don't turn to the Word of God. That just blows my mind. To go through trouble and not turn to the Word of God. The minute you have troubles, the first thing you ought to do. No, maybe the second thing. First thing ought to be, turn off the TV. Don't let Dr. Phil solve your problem. Don't let Oprah try to tell you how to handle anything. The first thing you do is turn that off. The second thing you do is open this up and replace that with this. Or not just that, but any of the worldly philosophy and the thinking. And get into the Word of God. Why do the troubles build? Why do they snowball? Why do they keep going? Because you go through the troubles ignorant of the remedy for the troubles. And that's the Word of God. All trusting in Him. Talking to Him. Taking His Word into your heart. Let not your hearts be troubled. What are your troubles this morning? Everybody's got some. To one degree or another, we've all got troubles, some more serious than others. We've all got troubles. What are they? Identify them. Know they're going to happen because it's part of this life. But know there's someone. There is someone. There is only one who can really take care of all those troubles. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.